Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 17,
Episode 33.
This is Writing Excuses, Dialogue Masterclass, Episode 6, Building Tension.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And dun, 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 dun.
I'm Dan.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Maurice.
I thought that joke would play better than it did.
Thank you.
I'm just going to pretend like it was an introduction to me and you were actually saying Dan, 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 Dan. Okay, so we talked about conflict last time. Let's talk about tension this time. Dialogue in tension. Maurice, why do we want tension in our dialogue?
Well, tension is that thing out. It's both holds it together and then charges it to push it forward. So tension in a lot of ways just sort of supercharges dialogue. One of the things I think about is there's a scene in, about to date myself. There's an Alfred Hitchcock movie, I think it was called Saboteur, where you have these two people having a mundane conversation. They're just sitting around in a cafe and they're ordering breakfast. And it's just a really mundane conversation and, you know, trying to figure out their coffee order and everything. But then the camera pans down and there's a bomb underneath the table and the bomb's on a timer. And it's getting close to detonation. And then the camera pans back up. And so you have these two characters that are still just trying to figure out what they're going to order for breakfast. But now suddenly this moment has been supercharged with tension and expectations and want to see what's happening next.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite principles of writing. And it is so important when you're doing this that you make sure to establish what those stakes are. Because prior to seeing the bomb, that was just a boring conversation about breakfast. After seeing the bomb, everything changes. I have a horror class that I teach, how to scare people, how to build suspense. And I show clips of movies. And I showed a clip from the beach scene from Jaws, where the kids are out playing in the water. And there's like 100 misdirections where you think there's a shark, but it's not actually a shark. And I showed this to a group of kids at a teen writers conference, and I forgot to set it up. They'd never seen Jaws. They didn't know what this was about. And so they didn't know there was a shark. They didn't know that everything they were watching were misdirections about why is this person screaming? Why can't they find the dog? All of these little things. And so they were bored to tears watching this scene because they didn't have any context. They didn't know what the stakes were. So if you want to build that tension, you have to tell the reader what could go wrong and then don't let it go wrong for a while.
Yeah, it's difficult to describe what tension is. In music, one of my instructors described it as what he called the law of the half step, which was when you have a chord that is where one note is a half step off from resolving into the major key, the tonic of the piece. Everybody can hear that and everybody's like, okay, it's about to resolve. Go ahead and resolve. It's a musical tension. And he went on to describe the works of Richard Wagner and saying he keeps using this law of the half step, but every time we resolve the half step, we introduce a new note that is a half step off from a new resolution. And so Wagner is tiring to listen to for some people because the tension is unrelenting. It never resolves. Dean Koontz wrote a book called Intensity, which functioned that way for me. There were these little resolutions at every step, but with each resolution, there was a new twist that maintained the tension. Very difficult to read. And so circling back around, what is tension in fiction? What is tension in our writing? And I think it's best described in terms of like waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting for a thing to resolve so that I can let out this breath.
Yeah, it's about an expectation that and you know, as you say, waiting for the other shoe to drop. The when we talk about what's at stake, the reason that that's important is because it creates one end of that tension. If you think about it as something that you are stretching a line, you know, an elastic line between two things, you need one end of it to be the thing that's at stake, like a literal stake, and you could maybe think of it that way. And then the other thing is all of the things that are drawing that out, that are pulling it away from that thing that's at stake.
So as this relates to dialogue specifically, we know why tension's important. How do we draw out that thing? How do we draw it out? How do we stretch it when it's dialogue without it just being dull?
So go ahead, Maurice.
Give you a link to this article that we'll put in the liner notes, but it's called Toward a General Psychological Model of Tension and Suspense, which is as amazing a read as you imagine it will be. But I found it a really useful article for me personally, because for one, it defines tension as a diffuse general state of anticipation. So there's that whole idea of like waiting for the shoe to drop. And then suspense as the specific anticipation between clearly opposed outcomes, like whether or not this bomb is going to explode, right? And the whole article breaks down this whole idea of what does it mean to hold tension? What does it mean to hold suspense? And it sort of like lays out this process of one, stability gets broken. Two, there's this loss of control. And then three, which is the key thing you were just talking about, Dan, is the whole build and stretch. And I think we've actually already touched upon the first two items there, the whole stability gets broken. Well, the stability is just us setting the scene. And then it gets broken by, you know, you have these characters in collision with opposing agendas and what forth. And then there's this whole idea of loss of control. And that's the idea of, all right, let's show you the bomb. Let's show you what's at stake. And so now we have that, that loss of control. But the build and stretch, when I think about build and stretch, I think about the movie Inglourious Basterds. It's a Quentin Tarantino movie. And there's a scene in there which I always refer back to as sort of like a masterclass on tension, a masterclass on that build and stretch idea, right? Because it takes place here in World War II, and our heroes are in a German, I think it's a canteen. But anyway, they're
surrounded by all downstairs tavern. That's the scene you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's the one, and so. You have this German officer who is aware that there's a spy among them, and he's trying to ferret out which one is the spy. And so this whole scene is everybody trying to retain their cover, act like they belong, knowing that one slip up and this whole scene ends bloodily, we'll say. and spoilers, it ends bloodily. But the scene goes on for almost 20 minutes. Almost 20 minutes, like by minute 12, you almost feel tension as a character sitting next to you, right? Because he's done a pretty masterful job of just using dialogue, you know, question after question or comment after comment. Because then you have to be questioned. It's just, literally each line of dialogue is a potential trap. And everybody understands one slip up, we're dead.
So the potential trap, I want to drill into that and talk about cusp points, because every line of dialogue can be a cusp point. For instance, we can continue talking about that now, or...
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WX. Hey, writers. Are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We could pause for the book of the week.
That's a good idea. And it's your book of the week this week.
That's right. So the book of the week for me this week is Marrow by S.B. Divya. This is a far future science fiction novel. And it's set in a point at which humans have really, you know, borked the earth. And they're... The next evolution of humanity, called alloys, are kind of keeping things going and preserving original humans as an important species, in much the same way they are preserving elephants. What's interesting is that, I mean, it's really quite compelling. But one of the things that's interesting for me about it is that there's parent-child conflict in it that is also not just parent and child, but the parents of this child are alloys and they're raising a human child. So it's both the parental feeling, but there's also these other aspects of it, of where it touches on colonialization, it touches on what it means to be a dominant species, and how, you know, in many ways, like touches on some animal rights things, but never like being explicitly about that, because it's also just this really fun, and now we're going to go explore a new planet. So it's got so much intriguing world building, good, interesting conversations. And I'm enjoying the heck out of it. So this is Marrow by S.B. Divya.
Cool. That sounds great.
So, okay, back to my cuss points.
Yes.
So one of the things that we're talking about when we're talking about these, you know, this tension, and the scene that Maurice was describing, is that when you're in a dialogue, when you're in conversation with someone, in many ways, every line that is spoken represents a cusp point, a decision point, a choice point. And when we talk about knowing your character's agenda, people come into things with more than one agenda, and often a conversation can expose and open up a whole new agenda. You've had those conversations where someone says something and like five different possible responses collide in your head at once. And the reason they collide is each of them could spin the conversation in a different way. So one of the things that you can do with to ramp that tension up is to make us aware of, you know, the thing that's happening with the scene that Maurice describes, is that each one of those innocuous questions could be the question that spins the conversation into danger. And that's something that you can play with as a deliberate tool, is to look at what cusp points are represented by each line of dialogue. Like, what is the other thing that your character could have said that would have made things worse? And, you know, what is the thing that they could say that would make things better? What is the thing that will just change the conversation, change the topic, the tenor? These are things that can add tension if you kind of make the reader aware that this exists.
That's really cool. I don't have a follow-up. Sorry. I'm just thinking, wow, that's actually really fascinating.
Well, one of the things that common trope, we see it a lot, when the tension can be resolved by one person telling the other person the thing that they're planning to tell them, and the two people are together, and instead of telling them, they say, "We don't have time for that right now. Follow me." No, you actually could have just said, "I committed the murder. Sorry, my bad. Now follow me. We're running from the cops," or whatever. The artificial maintenance of tension really bugs me. If you need to do something like that, you know, if you've reached a point where the energy state of the conversation is just going to collapse now, you know, it's just going to happen. You either need to back up and, you know, write these characters apart so they're not having the conversation yet, or you need to interrupt them with something that neither of them get a say in order to prevent the conversation from continuing.
And I would caution you as a writer on that principle, that if you find yourself doing this type of thing frequently, mix it up. Don't have, you know, someone kick down the door and interrupt the conversation every single time. Use different methods of delaying that resolution and of drawing out the tension, because otherwise it just becomes a parody of itself.
Well, and the masterclass version of this is the person who has the information needs to not be motivated to share it yet for a really good reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that can't just be the authorial intention of I need them to not share this.
Exactly.
Yet. Frequently when characters do share information, it can lead to much more interesting conversations that are still filled with tension. Like one of the things that I'm super enjoying right now is on TikTok. Natalie Hernandez, author, is the TikTok handle, has been doing romance tropes in real life, where she does both sides of a dialogue, in which one side is like, "Stay calm, don't," and "You just kidnapped me." No. But stay calm. Why would, and like shatters every piece of the way those conversations normally go, because one side is trying to have the standard romance trope conversation, and the other is like, "No, this is the kind of communication that you would have if you were a healthy adult, and I will absolutely not have anything to do with you because you are not a healthy adult." And it's so, yeah, I love it, because part of I brought it up here is because part of the tension derives from the thwarted expectations.
Yes. Let's take this into our homework for the week, which is kind of a version of this. I want you to write a difficult conversation. Someone, as Howard said, has information they are motivated not to share. An example could be that they have made an incredibly questionable choice, some kind of deep moral compromise, and they don't want to tell what they've done. But I want you to write four versions of this. They have this conversation with a child. They have this conversation with one of their own parents. They have this conversation with a police officer. And they have this conversation with an old good friend. And see how that changes the tension and the ways that you build that tension in the scene. This is Writing Excuses. You are out of excuses. Now go write.
For this episode of Writing Excuses, your hosts were Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, Maurice Broaddus, and Howard Taylor. It was engineered by Daniel Thompson and mastered by Alex Jackson. To find more of Writing Excuses and support us, check out patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.